lock the windows and bolt the door. We're about to scare the pants off you on this week's Monster Review.
Welcome. We have been expecting you.
Well, welcome to another exciting episode of We Got the Geeks Monster Review. In the studio today, we've got Jay Stu, myself, John, the Meatball, and we've also got Tressa and Mara here, the exciting horror hosts that usually dip into the all that is scary and crazy and psycho. And yeah, we've got a pretty good lineup for films today. We've got American Psycho from the year 2000. We've got Zodiac from 2007 and From Hell from 2001.
First of all, I want to say, holy crap, American Psycho is 14 years old, 13 years old.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that as well. So I guess the first one we're going to look at is American Psycho. Is that right, ladies?
Yes, it is. So like John said, American Psycho is from 2000. It was considered a crime drama. The director is Mary Harron. The writers are Brett Easton Ellis for the novel and Mary Harron for the screenplay. And the actors are Christian Bale, Justin Theroux, and Josh Lucas.
And now, the three of us watched it. Jay, you haven't seen it yet. You've just seen parts,
I've seen parts of it. I'm familiar with the actors' work, though. All three of them that you just mentioned.
Now, I have to say, like, I saw this movie probably right after it was brand new. Like, when it first came out on VHS back in the day. And that was my first exposure to Christian Bale after he did Newsies for Disney when he was a kid. So it was kind of a shocking surprise for me to go from seeing him dancing and singing and throwing newspapers with a bunch of kids, including that kid who played Vinny from Doogie Howser MD, to all of a sudden now being a psychotic killer that had, you know, is basically what, a yuppie back in the 80s New York City, you know, blending in with everybody else. It really caught me by surprise. What was your first thought when you first saw the movie? Whichever one wants to go first.
When I first saw the movie, I really liked it. At first, I was a little confused by it because I didn't know about the ending. But I watched it a second time, and I caught on a lot of things I didn't see the first time. I really enjoyed it. Really liked it.
I don't remember the first time I actually got to see it. Unlike you two, I've actually only watched this movie, I think, now three times. I like it. It is a really good piece of work, especially the one scene with Jared Leto. But it's not one of my favorites. Only because, we're going into the serial killer realm, which is what our whole process is today, is serial killer movies.
Right.
Most of the time he was, even though he was narcissistic, he didn't have enough control over himself. Which, understandably, when you get to the ending, you understand a little bit more. But I'm used to serial killers who are very calculating, who are very, they know exactly what they're doing and on every step. And this one, he was very manic the whole time. So, to me, I like it. Great movie. Would recommend it to anybody. But I don't really watch it a whole lot.
Yeah. I can see that that point of view for sure. Like, I've seen it a number of times, and Mara, you've seen it a lot as well. But going with the point that you made where he's very manic, very crazy, not as controlled as most of the serial killers in history that we read about and other films are made about, you really do get a sense of him actually being that controlled early on in the film. Where, you know, he's got the plastic spread out everywhere, you know, and all the different things that he's doing, you know, a head in the fridge and a plastic bag.
Oh, as a serial killer, yeah, he's very, very prepared for, you know, disposing of the bodies and this and that. It's more his personality. Serial killers are tending to be narcissistic, very control-oriented because they have to be. You don't want to get caught, therefore you have to be in control of everything.
So with this film, you think he kind of loses his cool too quickly and...
It goes with the actual title, American Psycho.
Okay.
So, yes, he is a serial killer, but he's more delusional and psychotic than your typical manic serial killer.
More of a, just a...
A psychopath.
A self-absorbed nutcase that murders people.
Exactly.
Instead of the actual real serial killer
or
title.
80s, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it was 80s, though. That's what adds to the humor for me, though. Seeing them...
It was, because you could just see how yuppie everybody was and how privileged they all thought they were. And it was scary to look back and actually see, like, the costumes and the way everything was done. And you're just like, oh, I remember that.
I think that was the point, though, just so, like, how self-absorbed people are. And that's, you know, like, not having the emotions. I'm not sure he was the person, like, who wrote this? Who was it?
This was Mary Harron that wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, based off of
the book, right?
Based off a very controversial book, from what I understand.
From Bret Easton Ellis, yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand, the book is far more graphic than the film ever ended up being, and it was banned in a lot of places because of how frightening it was with its connections to what, you know, people were really like. You know, this could have happened, and nobody would have known about it because everybody really was the same.
Well, whereas in the movie, I mean, it was very tongue-in-cheek. We seem to like a lot of tongue-in-cheek movies, and it was. It wasn't a full-on portrayal of what a serial killer was all about. It was what the serial killer was about in the 80s, or, you know, his particular character. And you do get to know a little bit more by the end of why it is the way it is, but...
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I really enjoy this movie. It was one of those ones that just, there was so many layers to it. Like you said, Mara, the more you watch it, the more you see, the more you start to understand and connect with, to really know where it was coming from. And my favorite part of the whole thing was the soundtrack, just because I remember when every one of those songs was brand new.
That doesn't surprise me. You love that.
But I'm an 80s music lover.
That's why I want to see this movie. You guys mentioned it's in the 80s, and I love 80s music. So my head stuck with music-wise.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
And I love Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Huey Lewis.
Like, it's major Huey Lewis. I mean,
Phil Collins. There's a lot of great music in it. And, you know, let's not forget that, like, Reese Witherspoon pops up in it. Willem Dafoe pop up in it. There's other actors in there that kind of... Mm-hmm. You never would have expected to see them in here, but they kind of fit into the whole 80s element from back then as well, playing it quite well. So I don't know. The 80s part of it is, I think, what initially drew me to it. And then it was just a, wow, this is really, really nuts, and I like it.
Well, I mean, like, the most popular scene, obviously, is the axe scene with Jared Leto.
Right.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, and...
It's a great scene.
That is a fantastic scene. That is extremely manic, but for that moment in that movie, it's perfect.
It was planned out, though.
I saw that.
There was lots of planning involved.
And I saw that as one of the most controlled sequences in the movie. Where it was every little move and every little rhythm. Like, it was as if the song that was playing, every rhythm and motion that he made with the song and what he was doing fit perfectly. So when you look at it from a movie standpoint, it's a, oh my God, everybody on the crew and in the cast was completely 100% on point from start to finish in that scene. You know, you've got the editing staff afterwards, like, everything fit perfectly. And if it would have been just a little bit off in one part of that, that scene would have lost its effect entirely.
Yeah.
It was a really brilliant scene. And of course, recently having seen Huey Lewis and Weird Al reenact that scene as well.
That's funny too.
You know, in typical spoof form. They did the same thing there, they did an excellent job recreating that and keeping that energy there. And it's not my favorite scene, but it's definitely one of the most memorable scenes, I think, out of the whole film.
I have to admit, this actually made me really laugh in this movie, is the 80s were very, very popular for product placement.
Yep.
And this movie did a lot of product placement, which made me giggle at every turn, because I'd be like, ha ha ha, close up. Phil Collins, you know, of the albums and the different things in the 80s. Like, it was all product placement. It was hilarious.
Which is not that different from nowadays. It's just back then
it was
new.
It was new, but it was also more in your face. We kind of now disguise product placement. You know, somebody's sipping, you know, a Pepsi or something, and yeah, okay, great, we don't even think about it. But
or
then
using a Mac computer, yeah.
Exactly.
I always notice the Mac.
Yeah,
but, so you think it's more subliminal now?
Yeah. Yes. Whereas that time they literally freeze framed on the object. It was hilarious.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that there.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of like drug use and alcoholism that seems to be kind of rampant in through the movie as well. Basically, I think the whole movie really has this whole addiction quality throughout for not just the character Patrick Bateman, played by Christian Bale, but for everybody. And, like, every little thing was about obsession and addiction.
Well, the yuppies in the 80s were very much known to be cocaine users, and they would go out and party, and you'd go into the bathroom and you'd snort some cocaine. It was very much part of the social aspect in the 80s. And it was known for that. It was known for all the yuppies going and having a good time and being able to do whatever they wanted.
But even to the level of, you know, they all whip out their business cards, or they're talking about how they all have the same glasses or the same suits. Just all this hardcore OCD that had become part of the culture. You know, we look at it now and it just doesn't happen. But back then, that's all there was.
It's just to show how conceited they are, right?
It's creepy. The business card thing was creepy.
Yeah, it really was.
It was pretty blatant that was just like a symbol for how conceited everyone was.
And
really.
That was your status. Good your business card was.
Yeah. You know, even though they all have the exact same title, the same haircut, the same glasses, the same suits. You know, they all, you know, right at the beginning when we see Patrick Bateman, you know, doing his daily morning routine with all the different lotions and things like that to make sure that their skin was absolutely perfect and stuff.
But the way they do that, too, is when they're, like, interchangeable, like how, like, when Patrick Bateman is confused with the other guy all the time because they're just filling a seat in an office, pretty much, yeah. Right? They all have the same haircuts. I think that's kind of the point, to say this is just some upper-class yuppie just sitting here. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, they're all pretty much the same person with different names.
And
yeah.
That's why their names are interchangeable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just really, really well done and well delivered as a movie that definitely makes you want to watch it more than once. Maybe not so much for you
yourself.
Well,
maybe not so much for me, but I would definitely tell anybody to watch this movie. Yeah. I just, if it was on TV, I probably would watch it, but I don't own it. You own it.
Yeah.
But it's not one of the ones that I go out of my way to watch. I don't know whether it's just not my personality completely. Maybe I don't have the love of the 80s like some of us in the room.
Yeah, it's 3-1 for love of the 80s in here right now.
Yeah, I have to say I'm not a big lover of the 80s. But so out of, say, 5 cleavers, what would you give it?
Out of 5 cleavers?
Mm-hmm.
I myself give it 3.5 nail guns and an axe.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
I don't know what that even means.
No, we just ignore them.
I'm going to give them 4.5.
4.5.
How is it? You don't understand what I mean with the nail guns and the axe?
I don't know what a cleaver is. Is that the big
cleaver
thing?
Is a big butcher knife.
Like butcher knife.
Check. Okay, yeah. So then what are you talking about a nail gun?
Because I love the scene when he's got his assistant in his apartment and he's wanting to kill her.
Yeah.
And he holds that nail gun to the back of her head. It always sticks out in my mind because there's no airline going to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, how's that going to work? And you can't just pull the trigger on a nail gun either. You actually have to press the end of it. But I always loved that scene. And then the axe.
I was thinking about that because when you're talking about, like, non-typical serial killer, right? A serial killer wouldn't kill his assistant. I mean, they're more likely to kill people that they don't know.
Right.
So, I mean, in that situation, I can totally see that because the control. Someone would control themselves a lot more than to try and do that. He did control himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that was kind of a breaking point where we see the controlled part of him start to leave. And when he finally loses it and he can't kill her, it was right after that that he starts going on that spree of just killing everybody, you know, where he actually just lines up this massive body count. Mm. And he kills a lot of people in this movie. There's like 20 or 30 people he kills. You know, some of them he left hanging in a closet. Some of them are, you know, as he says at the end of it, you know, when he's leaving his message on his lawyer's machine, you know, he's killed like 20 or 30 people and he's cooked with some of them and eaten some of their brains. And it's just, I don't know. I really liked how subtle the body count was until the end, where it's just like he's dropping everybody. And then you really have to kind of sit there and listen at the end. Wow, he killed everybody in this movie. This has got a bigger body count than some small budget action movies that I've seen. It's impressive. It's just really, really well delivered, I think.
Yeah, and I would definitely give it a 4. I would recommend it for most people to see. So, Jay, you must watch the actual movie.
Okay.
Yeah, at some point. I think you'll enjoy it.
I have a quick question for you guys before we do a commercial. They just announced this week they're doing an American Psycho TV series.
Right.
What do you guys think about that, and do you think you're going to be able to, like, give the movie or book justice, or?
Well,
it's supposed to be him in his later years, I guess.
In my opinion, I'm, like you guys said earlier, I think they might just be trying to cash in on Dexter and the fact that people are obsessed with that kind of an atmosphere now. But it could work.
Where is this going to be aired? Like, what's the station? Because I know it depends. Like, HBO would be a lot more graphic.
It would depend,
Or AMC.
Yeah, I wonder who would actually air that.
As long as they stick with that character and stay far away from American Psycho 2, which was an awful movie. If a guy gets strangled with a condom, the movie's bad. Plain and simple.
It might work. It might. I mean, if they're going to age the character and put it in his later years, then it's a little bit of a different dynamic because of the age.
I think what they'd have to do, though, is really...
I think it'd be a new character.
They'd have to pull him... Like, if they kept it the same character but many years later, they'd really have to have pulled him out of his obsession for a long period of time and have something trigger him to go back in. Because he went nuts and lost control and realized that he's nothing. You know, if he would have kept on killing, he would have gotten caught.
Yeah.
So if he could somehow, you know, like the serial killer, was it BTK? He stopped killing for a long time.
And a lot of them do.
Yeah. So you get Patrick Bateman coming back for a TV show, maybe something right at the first episode triggers a something and makes him go on a killing spree again. That would be my opinion of how that could work.
I don't know if they would do that, though, because he'd have to be a really old lead character. I don't know. I mean, for a show like that...
Well, if you think about it, he was in, what, his mid-20s. The character is in mid-20s in the 80s.
So you have to be, like, 50 now.
That was only 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's so early 50s.
Yeah, you can still be pretty damn spry for early 50s.
Maybe. I guess it depends on what the target audience is, right? Yeah. But if you're trying to cash in on the Dexter market, you're going to want a younger audience, right? I imagine the character would probably be in late 20s, early 30s.
I think even if you could cash in on the Dexter market with an older character, because people watched Dexter for so long, he did age in that show, obviously.
Not that much.
Maybe not much.
It aired for years, but yeah, he didn't change.
No, it was really,
I think people could jump onto an older character very easily if it's the same content, because they're going to want the content.
Well, yeah. I guess we'll see. We'll have to update ourselves.
I'll watch an episode of it and see what it's like.
Yeah.
If it airs on, like, AMC, though, or HBO, I think it'd be better than if it aired on, like, CBS or something, right?
Oh, yeah. If it was one of those, it might not be so good.
Well, I think it's a pretty good rating on that one. I think it's definitely a recommended film for, you know, anyone to watch, whether you like the content or not. I think it's a good think about what's going on movie.
Yeah, definitely make you think about what people think about themselves and also what society does to people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll have a look at the 2007 film Zodiac.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, and we're back. Welcome back to the Monster Review, where we're looking at serial killer films with Mara, Tressa, myself, the Meatball, and Jay Stu is in the studio as well with us, hanging out. And we've just looked at American Psycho, so now we're going to take a look at the next film on our list, Zodiac, from 2007. Oh, and Elvis approves, apparently. So, Tressa, why don't you give us a rundown of what Zodiac was about?
Alrighty, so Zodiac was considered a crime drama mystery. The director was David Fincher. The writers were James Vanderbilt, he did the screenplay, and Robert Graysmith did the book. Robert Graysmith is actually one of the characters of the story. The actors in it were Jake Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, Anthony Edwards, and Robert Downey Jr. Okay, so a brief idea of the Zodiac. Now, we were doing American Psycho, and that one was just more of a movie serial killer. Zodiac and our next one are actual real serial killers. So the Zodiac killed 36 people from between 1960s to the 1970s. There was one survivor. He actually survived multiple gunshot wounds, and he ended up disappearing for a while because of the issue he had with what happened. The girl he was with at the time was killed. The Zodiac, he was a serial killer that, like many others, he dressed in a silver outfit with the sign of the Zodiac. He wrote letters to the press, signed the Zodiac. He actually wrote a letter to the police full of symbols to make sure that they were translated, which they never were able to do completely, and it was supposed to have the actual name of the killer in it. The Zodiac suspects were believed to be Arthur Lee Allen. Now, Arthur Lee Allen ended up dying before they figured anything out, but they do believe it was him because after Arthur Lee Allen died, the Zodiac was never heard from again. Jack Terrence, Lawrence Larry Kane, and Bruce Davis, which was part of the Manson family. So the Zodiac is one of the real serial killers. He was never caught, and he did probably have more than 36 people, but those are the confirmed ones.
Right.
So the movie that we reviewed, The Zodiac, this took place during the whole Zodiac killings. It does take you through the different killings, and it does go into Arthur Lee Allen, mostly. That is their main suspect in this movie. The movie is quite a darker look at things. It goes through most of the eyes of Robert Graysmith. Robert Graysmith was a cartoonist and ended up being the person who wrote the book about the Zodiac. Robert Downey Jr.'s character played a reporter that Graysmith worked with at the paper. And they ended up becoming friends, but Robert Downey Jr. and his character ended up not being able to keep going through with trying to find the Zodiac. Robert Graysmith was kind of obsessed with finding out who this was, and of course they never actually confirmed who the Zodiac killer is.
Now, Graysmith was also one of the people who was able to decode some of the actual letters from the Zodiac and actually start giving the police something to go on, right?
Yes, this was Jake Gyllenhaal's character,
So he was a real person who was actually very much involved with the investigation and just developed an obsession with it.
Yeah.
As he went along, leading up to his writing of the book. I don't know. It's a creepy true story. You know, any true story really is creepy because then you get to really see what people are like. This movie, for me, it was creepy. It was well done. The acting, like the casting was great. I chuckled a bit the first time I saw it to see the actor who played, was it Arthur Lee Allen?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I knew him from the Drew Carey show, playing Drew's brother. So I chuckled the first time I saw that, but then quickly realized he's actually really good in this part as a creepy, you know, potential serial killer. But overall, to me, the movie was very long, very drawn out. But I get the idea because so was the length of time that this killer was active.
Yeah.
Over a long, you know, it was very difficult for a lot of people to deal with because of how much time passed as this all went on.
How much time passed, and also it took place in Vallejo, California was one of the big ones, but it also took place in a couple different states, so nobody ever actually knew where he was going to come up next, and with a serial killer on the loose, people tend to get very frightened, so.
Yeah, so it was the movie for me, I didn't like it that much. It was good, and I would recommend it to people who are interested in the content. But I couldn't really stick with it. I got bored with it very quickly, as well done as it was. But this is a movie that you very much enjoy.
This is a movie I do enjoy, but I am a person who does like reading up about serial killers and watching different movies. This particular Zodiac movie is not the only one out there. There are a few Zodiac movies. This just happens to be the one that I own, so we picked it. And it's the most actors that are well-known, so people could...
It's the Hollywood version.
Yeah, basically. So people could look up and see everything about it. I do like the movie, but I do like a lot of darker dramas, and I can sit around and watch it. And, you know, I actually knew a lot more about the Zodiac before watching the movie. So I pretty much could go step-by-step with them.
Right.
And knew where it was going, so...
What do you think of this film, Mara?
Yeah, I did not know anything about the Zodiac before I watched it. So, I mean, I kind of felt about the same way you did. I thought it was kind of drawn out. I understand it took place over a long period of time. But, I don't know. I just... The ending for it, I was surprised that they didn't catch anyone. You know what I mean? The whole movie, I was like... I felt like we were leading up to something. Like, it was building up to catching a serial killer, right? And then it didn't happen. And I kind of felt like I was let down, to be honest with you. Like, it's... I understand that if I had known about it beforehand...
Yeah, knowing that you weren't going to know who the Zodiac killer really was...
Yeah.
You might...
Going into a blind, yeah. And I'm just like, why are we drawing this out? Because I was like, oh my gosh, it's over 2 hours long.
It is.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, oh. You know, the killing stopped, like, halfway through, and then there's just all this time where it's like, I get, they're trying to find out who it is, so it's like, we're getting somewhere, I know we're gonna get somewhere, and then it didn't happen, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It just really lost its steam very quickly for me. Again, incredibly well done. The actors really were spot on with the parts, I think, and it really told a great story. But it was just a really boring story.
I think that you kind of have to know a little bit about this particular serial killer to get into the story, because it is, you're not going to find out who it is. They have a suspect, but you're not going to find out.
And that's basically because in history,
you didn't never find out.
Yeah.
No, the Zodiac killer was never found. They never figured out why this person decided to kill. I mean, this person killed very many different ways, mostly by gun, but he wrapped up and hog-tied his victims, and he made the women usually watch, or the men usually watch the women get killed first. So the
motivations for anything that he did were never actually found.
Never. No.
No.
He seemed to have a little bit more against women, but nobody actually has any clue.
Now, you did mention that there's other films out there on the Zodiac. Have you yourself seen any of those?
I think I have watched one, but I don't remember much about it. I didn't really go into a lot of the old movies about it, but it is a well-known serial killer. It is actually one of the big ones that people know because of its name.
Right.
Because of the Zodiac and because of the letters that they sent to the police.
Now, did we ever find out why he was calling himself the Zodiac or where he got the Zodiac name?
No.
So that was just something he came up for himself, and it wasn't done by, like, a reporter or something like many other killers' names are?
No, actually, no, it wasn't. He sent the symbols, pretty much. In the movie itself, when they are trying to figure out whether it was Arthur Lee Allen, Arthur Lee Allen was actually connected to one of the victims. He was at her house. This is explained in the movie. And the one man that did survive was the guy that was with her. They figure if it was Arthur Lee Allen, he killed her because of this infatuation he had with her. Now, that would make sense for killing the one person, but why go on a killing spree for everybody else? But in the movie, they explain Zodiac because he wears a Zodiac watch. And so they kind of tied in different things. Now, Arthur Lee Allen did have a very good, I would say, the people really thought he was the Zodiac killer. And like I said, they never found out because he died. And he was one of the people that when he went to prison, the killings stopped. When he came out, the killings happened again. So it was either a coincidence or he was, and we just never know.
And what was it he died of?
Arthur Lee Allen, I believe he was killed in prison.
In prison?
I'm not positive, though. He could have died of something else. I don't have my little
Maybe the Zodiac killer got him.
Yeah.
So the movie then, it took more of an objective standpoint. It could have done something like the other movie interview and just say, this is what happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have actually taken that standpoint that it was, what was it?
Allen.
Yeah. They could have said it was him and then just...
And went a dramatic kind of thing.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
But they went with Grace Smith's book, which is his...
First-hand account, really.
Of what's going on. Yeah. So...
So, when we look back on this, you know, it's definitely a movie that I recommend. I know you recommend it.
Yeah.
I myself, I think for a rating, I'm going to give this, I'll give this 3 weird symbols out of 5.
I'm going to give it 4.
I'm going to give it 2.5, and that's generous for me.
And you've not seen this one either, Jay, so we're not going to take a rating from you. But, again, if you've got, like, half of an afternoon to fall asleep and wake up and
yeah.
continue watching, I recommend this movie for you.
Like or you might find it really interesting.
A rainy day, nothing else is really on, your cable's out, just pop it in.
Anybody who's interested in movies based on history or movies based on serial killers or human behavior, definitely recommend it because you get to see a lot of different human elements.
Because it goes through the cops, it goes through the writer, it goes through the journalist, and it goes through the serial killer.
Yeah, you see a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different relationships between people involved in something like this,
and how it
that's
affected,
really well done.
And it shows how it affected their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and the lives of those around them. So, yeah, very good movie, but not something that's really grabbing at you to stay involved in unless you're into that sort of thing, but... yeah, definitely recommended. So we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the 2001 movie From Hell.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull-list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils. Everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
And so we have returned. Back to this this element of monster review, where we're looking at serial killer movies with Mara, Tressa, myself, the Meatball, and Jay Stu. And, you know, we've looked at now American Psycho, we've looked at Zodiac, and now we're moving on to a film based on a serial killer that is probably the most famous serial killer of all time, the movie From Hell. Which was loosely based off of Alan Moore's very famous graphic novel about the historical, you know, killings in England. I could say Mara, let's review it, but Tressa has the notes. So, yeah. Tressa, why don't you review it for us? Why don't you give us a rundown about this movie?
Alrighty, so From Hell was in 2001, which I can't believe it's that old as well. It was a crime horror mystery like the rest of them. The director was Albert Hughes and Alan Hughes. The writer, of course, was Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell.
Eddie Campbell was the artist.
Yes. So the actors were Johnny Depp, Heather Graham, and Ian Holm. they had obviously a lot more other actors in it, and you know, but those were the main three that really stood out pretty much. Jack the Ripper, again, was never caught. The interesting thing about this serial killer is that he only actually killed 5 people. And only 5. From August to November in 1888 in the Whitechapel district of London. There are a lot, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot of people who it could have been. I'll just run down some names for you, and it's crazy. Montague John Drewt, George Chapman, some of them I can't even say, Aaron Kosminski, Michael Ostrung, John Prizer, James Thomas Sandler, Francis Tremblay, William Henry Barry, Thomas Neil Cream, Frederick Bailey Demon, Carl Fragenbaum, Robert Donston Stevenson, Joseph Barnett, Lewis Carroll.
Lewis Carroll, the writer?
Yep. Yeah.
I know. Get out of here. Really?
Yeah. David Cohen, William Whitney Gull, George Hutchinson, James Kelly, James Maybrook, Alexander Penetruk. I don't even know what I wrote there. Walter Sicker, Joseph Silver, James Kenneth Stevens, Francis Thomas, the Duke of Clarence, which was Prince Albert, and Sir John Williams, which was the obstetrician to the Queen. Now, this movie From Hell does focus on the idea of the secret society of the Masons.
Right.
And how the Queen found out that her nephew, the Duke of Clarence, Albert, he had syphilis. And that was a big killer in those days, and it was not a nice way to die. He was given syphilis by a whore who was on the streets of the Whitechapel district, who he ended up marrying in a Catholic church, and they had a child. So this made this child with a whore an actual heir to the throne.
Cool.
Yes, and a legitimate heir to the throne because they were married in the Catholic Church. So the whole idea of the story is that the queen obviously does not want this to happen. They get the doctor to kill the 5 whores, and they're done.
Well, and the 5 whores in particular, because they know of this marriage.
They were witnesses at the wedding, yes. So that would obviously show why there was only 5 people killed. A lot of people think that Jack the Ripper just happened to kill these 5 women and died or was caught and nobody knew. In the movie, obviously, it is Sir John Williams and he is, or is it Gull? William Whitney Gull. I don't remember now. No, it was Sir John Williams, and he was given a lobotomy, and was never heard from again because he was put in an insane asylum.
And this is all based off of Alan Moore's book, so his idea of what?
Yes, they picked one of the main suspects that was the most interesting, and ran with it.
Yeah.
I have read books, particularly about James Maybrook. I have a book about him. He apparently has the Jack the Ripper diaries, and they were written by him. I read a few pages and said no. I've read a lot about Jack the Ripper. He is one of my main interests. I find serial killers interesting.
Yeah, I like Star Wars. You read about Jack the Ripper. It's an interesting household.
And a lot of the suspects that I read, they were women haters or they were pimps. Some of them were in the Jewish community and were butchers or were tailors. And that was the main thing that the British people were looking for at first, was they wanted it to be somebody who was not high society, because a high society person in 1888, could never do something like that. Meanwhile, the Jack the Ripper murderers were so precise that it had to be somebody who had at least the slight working knowledge of anatomy. The Jack the Ripper cut them open and actually removed certain organs out of their body. Wrapped them around their necks and actually took stuff away. So for that to happen, some of the organs are very hard to get to. This person did it at night. There were no witnesses. There was blood, but not like crazy amounts of blood. This person knew exactly what they were doing, exactly what to do, and exactly how to get away.
And it's, you know, the important note here is that with the Jack the Ripper killings, even though there was only five, the reason it stands out in history is because of the brutality and so much mystery surrounding why these women were killed and why they were killed the way they were killed.
Yeah.
That's what really made it stand out. And like you said, organs just everywhere and
messy. The only person that was brutally, brutally murdered was the last victim, which was Mary Kelly. And she was so brutally murdered that there was nothing to identify her with. She was actually completely mutilated. Her heart was gone. It was thrown in the fire. If you actually see the autopsy photos, it was crazy. You could see a leg and an arm, and the rest of it was a mess. It was disgusting.
So she was basically turned into mush.
Yes, she was. It was almost like the Jack the Ripper that was known for the rest of the killings wasn't what killed her, but she was the last one, and people were really on the trail of who Jack the Ripper was. So whoever it was, obviously that was it. He was done. He made his last remark, and he made it messy.
That would make you think that there's something of importance about her, like something different about her than the other ones.
It could have been, yeah. I mean, like, the movie, this actually looks through the eyes of Inspector Aberlin, and it really focuses on the character of Mary Kelly. It actually has a twist at the end to make you think that maybe she wasn't killed. Which, I guess, that's just an interpretation. That's not even the interpretation in the graphic novel. That is totally movie-oriented. The movie
really, like we said, loosely based on the graphic novel.
It was, and it was a very good movie, but yeah, it was loosely based, and they kind of made it a happier ending, which, technically, again, you get to see who this is who he was, and this is what happened, and it was finished, but...
That's why they did it, unlike the other one.
Yeah, but in life... I like the fact that some serial killers are never found. Everybody looks at me like I'm creepy, but think about it. This is how we find out how the mind works. If we caught every serial killer, what would be the point? You'd be like, oh, okay. It makes it interesting that we don't know if he was caught. Maybe he was, and they're never going to tell us. It's another government conspiracy.
Or he moved on to be... you know, professionally make cookies or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
But yeah, it was a really interesting movie. I've read a good chunk of the graphic novel. I never did finish it, so I didn't know there was a difference in the endings.
I think there was.
Just, I read it because I'm a hardcore fan of Alan Moore. I loved The Watchmen. I really did love V for Vendetta. Really, really loved his run on Swamp Thing and things like that. So I really wanted to read From Hell, and I read it right around the time the movie came out, because it was there's a movie out, I better read this, and I never got through it. And I've seen the movie, I think, twice now, and really the only thing that stands out for me in the movie was that I really liked Ian Holm as the potential Jack the Ripper.
Oh, he's amazing anyway.
He's amazing in everything, you know. I always laugh at him being in Lord of the Rings as Bilbo, but... everything he does, he's another one of those, like, perfect actors.
He is.
Where he really, you don't see him in a role where he's crap.
He's great in Fifth Element, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every little thing. He was in The Aviator. He had a very small role there. But again, completely believable in his element. And I really liked how he played this doctor that potentially could have been just faking it for everyone, including the Queen. And, you know, being able to be this psychotic killer that brutally murdered these people. Yeah, I could totally buy that he was Jack the Ripper by his performance there. I really dug it.
Well, I mean, like, I enjoyed Johnny Depp in this. I enjoy a lot of his work, more his earlier work. Now I'm kind of getting away from it because he seems to now be cast as the same character.
Well, yeah, he's cast as Johnny Depp now. Yeah. Although, Rango, not him at all.
No.
Rango was awesome.
That was
Rango
amazing.
Is probably the best movie of his, the latter so part good. Of his career. But that's getting off topic.
But, yeah, no, like, this one, it was nice because you're watching Johnny Depp. He's not all pale, and he's not being quirky. He's just being a guy.
Yeah.
And he's just doing his inspector role, and he's going about... And Inspector Frederick Aberline was actually the real person. This is the real inspector. He was alive in 1888. He was part of the Jack the Ripper case.
Yeah, I read it up on Wikipedia. Yeah, I was after we watched this for the review, I thought I'd read a little bit about the actual people involved. And yeah, he was an interesting character himself.
Yes, he very much was. So, I mean, it was very well done. The only person I can't stand Heather Graham. So that kind of killed it for me, especially when I found out she was going to be playing, like, Mary Kelly. I was like, oh, no.
Why couldn't she be the first whore that died?
Then we never had to listen to her again, because I absolutely hate her. I hated her in the movie. I thought she was awful.
It's the third film I know of that she's a whore.
And I just, I could not, I just, she just bothered me through the whole thing.
I agree with you there. You know, I'm not a fan of hers as either, although I do like her in a few things. It's funny enough, the other two films that she's a whore. But
Hangover?
The Hangover and Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But still, I agree with you. She didn't fit in this movie.
No.
She was the one actress that really made you jump out of the film and kind of ignore a lot of what was happening.
Yeah, she's not a good actress for me anyway. And therefore she didn't go into the grittiness. She was just there.
Yeah,
she was just the blonde with the big rack that got.
Well, she was redhead in this one, but it didn't matter.
Well, yeah. She was blonde going in.
Yeah, so yeah,
there was definitely no character development at all with her.
No,
in that she was just there. Even
very
like,
static. Yeah,
there was no like I didn't pull for her to pull through on this. You know what I mean? Like there. A lot of times the lead characters, you want them to do well or you want them to succeed.
Well, yeah, if you're going to focus on that character, you obviously want us to become very interested
in
it.
Yeah, attached to that.
She could have died, I probably would have applauded.
Exactly, right? And that was the thing, that there wasn't any of that for her. So at the end when she made it,
I was upset. I was like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So for me, the ending, I almost try to not watch that.
Yeah,
ending.
I wanted her to be the sloppy mess in that room. And she wasn't.
I don't hate her. I just, I'm not a huge fan of her. But
no.
I mean,
Yeah, this was definitely a movie where I think they took a very narrow perspective from somebody who was a brilliant writer.
Yes.
And they changed it too much to try and make it Hollywood, which doesn't have anything even remotely close to brilliant writers. And then they just flushed it down the toilet after that. So they took away from it to start, then they took away from it again, and then they made it poo.
But, however, a lot of people who would have watched this movie would not have read the graphic novel.
Right.
Most people we know, when you've been saying, oh, you should read the graphic novel, they have no clue it even exists.
Yeah, and it's a big book.
It is.
Like, it's a really well-done, very heavy reading book. But I'll tell you what, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll when we come back, we'll wrap a few things up with From Hell.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Hey, K2 here from We Got the Geek. Not only am I your favorite podcaster, but I'm also your Scentsy independent consultant. Scentsy offers a safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. We sell ceramic warmers that use a low-wattage light bulb to warm our specially formulated wax cubes infused with fragrance. With over 80 scents available, I'm sure you'll find a few favorites. We also offer stuffed animals that have a scent pack included, broom sprays, travel tins for your car or locker, and our new Layers line of fragrance that lets you build a new fragrance wardrobe layer by layer, from your skin to your clothes. Contact me for a catalog, to smell some yummy samples, or to book a party. We're also hiring. Ask me about joining my team. Email me at kstew.wickless@me.com or on my website, kstew.sensi.ca.
All right, we're back, and we're going to wrap up our review of the movie From Hell, based off of Alan Moore's graphic novel, loosely based. Now, Tressa, you said you've got some fun facts for us.
I do have some fun facts. It's pretty much just really one, but I thought it was kind of fun because we have reviewed one of the other movies. Inspector Frederick Aberline was also in The Wolfman. This character was been played by Johnny Depp in From Hell, and Hugo Weaving in The Wolfman. And we happened to review The Wolfman, so I thought definitely. And while I was actually going through this character, I also found out, I'm not sure exactly what movie it was in, but Michael Caine also played this inspector.
Well, that's cool.
So he's a very popular inspector to play, and it's a very interesting idea of how they have him portrayed. I mean, Johnny Depp's character was an opium addict.
Right.
And I believe that was part of his actual past, was he was into...
I don't remember reading that myself, but I didn't read a lot.
But Hugo Weaving was very much the stout inspector. They were actually pretty close in how they portrayed him, which was really interesting. So
I really liked Hugo Weaving's portrayal of the character. Not just because I think Hugo Weaving is one of the best actors of his time.
He is, yeah.
But really because I thought it really suited the film that was in. Because that was an excellent remake of that film.
Yes, it was.
But overall, why don't we have a look at our ratings for From Hell. Why don't we start with Mara?
Knife rating.
Knife rating.
I'm going to give it
a Lister knife.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
3.5 Lister knifes out of 5.
Yeah, they lost that 1.5 to Heather Graham.
That's a lot to lose on one thing.
I'm going to go for a 4.75.
Oh.
And that's also due to Heather Graham.
I'm going to give it a 3 because...
Heather Graham?
Partly because of Heather Graham, partly because of Johnny Depp, because I'm really not a Johnny Depp fan myself.
Yeah, but this was early work. This was early work.
I'm not even his early work fan.
Oh.
But, yeah, I think I can only go with a 3. It just, that movie really didn't do it for me. The accents on some of the people were not believable, including Heather Graham. And again, like you guys said, I really hated the ending.
Well,
I just, the only reason it gets a 3 is because of Ian Holm for me.
Oh,
that's really what did it. Jace, too? You want to make up a false rating since you haven't seen this one?
I was going to ask you guys, like, have you ever seen any other Jack the Ripper movies? Because you guys made me remember one I'd seen called Time After Time.
I have not seen them. Tressa probably has.
I have seen quite a few things, and I've seen a lot of documentaries.
I've seen a few documentaries.
Jack the Ripper.
Well, Time After Time, obviously fabricated. It's H.G. Wells, the guy that invented the time machine in the books.
H.G. Wells is one of my favorite writers
in the,
from back
in
then.
In the movie, Jack the Ripper steals the time machine, goes to 1970s San Francisco, and H.G. Wells chases after him, and he has to stop him.
Wow.
That's right,
and it's pretty cool. I think Jack the Ripper was David Warner, who played the villain in Tron.
Wow.
And H.G. Wells was Malcolm McDowell. So,
which is amazing.
Whoa, wow, that's cool.
Pretty
I
cool
have seen
movie,
that one.
Actually.
It's pretty good.
Now I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, I'm a longtime H.G. Wells fan. I hope for one day we actually do review The Time Machine. I actually have a first printing of that book.
Oh, wow. I own the new version. I've never seen the old
movie. The film was great. Certainly we should look at that another time. But, yeah, I'm going to have to check this movie Time After Time.
Yeah. So Jack the Ripper comes to the 1970s and wreaks all kind of havoc in it.
So that's who the Zodiac was.
That was the Zodiac killer. Yeah.
There you go. It all ties together.
And he went back to the past from the future. So we can tie in other movies there as well.
Sure.
Cool.
Serial killers from the past.
All right.
So, yeah, I highly recommend a lot of serial killer movies. They're actually quite interesting if you do want to kind of either delve into the whole, oh, I want to be creepy and you know, watch it. Or if you're really interested in a lot of history about serial killers, there's a lot of movies out there, a lot of interesting ideas of what the serial killers are all about. So
there's been a lot of serial killers, so there's lots of content.
There have. Oh, yeah. Tons and tons, and it's not going to stop. I mean,
no.
People are created evil.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely people are nuts, and the more the population grows, the more compressed we get, the more likely we are to snap, and you never know, these people with the built-in ability to control the snapping are only going to get you. So,
look, it's missing that empathy and that callousness,
yes.
Psychopathy checklist.
You got to be narcissistic.
Between a 30 and a 40, you're a psychopath.
Yep.
All right, people, look to your neighbors and wonder what's going on, because you never know, they might be the next one.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, so that was a great monster review for our serial killer segment, and I guess the next one we're going to look at is first-person perspective films.
Yes, we are.
On the creepy side.
It should be interesting.
I heard the Blair Witch Project thrown around, so that may be one of them to give you an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And, I'm definitely going to get in on this one, because the Blair Witch Project definitely did something to me, basically based on when I watched it and what I did an hour later. And we'll go over that next time on the Monster Review.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.